If you have your Bible, turn with us to Luke chapter 24 tonight. Luke chapter 24 for just a little bit. I want to begin reading at verse 36, and I want to read through verse 49, if the Lord will be our help. Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. And the Bible says, And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broad fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words of which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now listen to this. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name above all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high. As you look at this evening, we see the Lord Jesus, and he goes to the disciples. And they're in the room there, and he goes into the midst. And the Bible says they were affrighted because they thought he was a spirit. And now he wasn't some spook, but he said, I'm not that kind of spook. He said, I'm the same Jesus that walked with you. He said, I'm the same Jesus that hung on a cross. He said, just touch me and see. He said, behold my hands and my feet. He said, hey, if he's any doubt, he said, just look for the holes in my hands and my feet. I want to say tonight, if there's any doubt in your life of what Jesus done for you, if there's any doubt on the love that he had for you, just consider the holes in his hands and his feet. He gave himself a price of sin, and he done that for me and you, and he done it unselfishly for lost sinners such as you and I. But he told him, he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. He said, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. He said, hey, your spirit don't have flesh and bones. He said, but I've got flesh and bones. He said, I ain't got the blood, because the blood's done been shed at price of sin. It's already been offered up. He prayed, it's gone. Praise be to God. And he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father tonight to make intercession for me and you. A man in flesh and bone, just like me and you, with those holes in his hand and holes in his feet. The only thing in heaven that's made by man, praise be to God, is them holes in his hands and his feet, and that pierced side, that's the only thing in heaven, praise God, that's been made by man. Amen. Glory be to God. Everything else is perfect in every way. But I want to say that man, God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's perfect in every way. But he comes down and he shows them his hands and his feet. And I want to preach for just a little bit tonight. It's got to be my help on, do you understand? Do you understand? As we look at this, the Bible brings down, he rocks on down here to verse 45. And he begins to, in 44, he begins to explain to them why he does what he does. He says, hey, listen, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. He said, everything God said had in His Word has to be fulfilled. Do you know God has still never changed that? Everything in His Word has to be fulfilled. Amen. Everything in His Word must come to pass. Glory be to God. Isn't that exciting tonight? Because we're part of the Word of God. Glory be to God. We were grafted in. Praise God. As a children of God, when the Jew rejected Him, He grafted in the Gentile. Praise God. He made a way that we could get in, that we could be part of something magnificent. So magnificent, praise God, that it's out of this world. I tell you, I'm looking. I'm not looking today for the undertaker, or be to God, the church of the living God, or to be looking for the upward taker. Glory to God, in a little while, we're going to go out of here and be with Him, and we ought to just go ahead and start practicing up, shouting the glory, because it's just as if, hey God, if you're a child of God, already part of, He's already there. When Jesus crossed through the threshold of glory, praise God, He took the best part of us with Him. Praise God, His children of God. Amen. We already in the portals of glory. Amen. Praise God. He's already a part of us, partaking with Him. But He said all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. He said concerning me. Jesus said everything that was written in the law of concerning me has to be fulfilled. He said everything that was written by the prophets concerning me has to be fulfilled. He said everything that was written in the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled. Amen. What does that mean? He said it must come to pass. Amen. He said everything that's been written about me must come to pass. Well, I don't know about you, but over there a little ways, a little further back in the book, it said that one of these days, He's going to step out, praise be to God, with a trump and a shout, and He's coming to get me and you, and He's going to take us, be with you in glory. Praise God, we're going to live with Him forevermore over on the other side. Praise God, I don't know about you, but that kind of excites me tonight, just to realize my God and my Savior has made preparation for me. Glory be to God, that where He is, there I'll be also. Praise God, sometimes in my mind's eye, I can see myself there in the presence of a holy God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Bowed at His feet, worshiping Him, giving Him that perfect praise. I can't do it now. My old body won't stand the strain. Going to these Amen. Days, glory be to God, I'm going to get a body like unto His. Praise God, where my throat don't give out. Hey, praise God, the devil been trying to take my voice. But praise God, if I get to where I can't proclaim the gospel, praise God, I'll just raise my hand to glory and just point to heaven, praise God, like old dummy Brown, and just point to the cross of Calvary. Amen. Praise God, magnify my God forevermore. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's worthy of all our praise. Amen. He is the God of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, my promises, those things He said will be fulfilled. He said, then He began to open His mouth. He began to help them to understand. He said, I want you to understand what I got to say to you. He said, I want you to understand that I am the living God, and I am the Savior, Amen. And I am risen again. Amen. He said, hey, I want you to be, hey, ain't you glad God tonight ain't got blinders on you? Praise God, He got you tonight with our eyes wide open. Hey, God illuminates our mind and helps us to realize who He is, shows us who He is, show He what He wants, shows us what He desires, and helps us get to where we need to be. Ain't you glad tonight you're part of something big as that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a God we serve tonight. Praise God. Hey, that son of God that big, I thought enough a little old me, and He allowed me to get in. Amen. Praise God. Help me to understand. Amen. He said it's so easy. A little child could do it. Amen. Come here a minute, Landon. He said, so easy. He said, a little fellow like Landon could realize that they was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That there is a Lord, a Savior of glory. Amen. That there was one that loved him enough. Yes. That he came to where he's at. And what did Jesus do for you? Amen. Amen. Praise God. But what did he have to do to save you? Died for you. amen, come into his heart. Praise God. He said, hey, it's just so simple that even a little child could understand. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, son. Amen. He said, hey, it's so simple that a little child could understand. Yeah. And if you just accept the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection, that you, praise God, you can, he'll come, you can ask him. He'll forgive your sin. He'll come in your heart, and he'll make you a new person in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It don't get no better than that. It did hey, brother, it don't cost you a dime, praise God. It's a free gift. Praise God. Comes from the throne of grace. Praise God, pour it out of purpose.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, that's good stuff. Don't cost you a dime. All you got to do is just partake. Just reach out, take what God's got the price out. Amen. You know, a preacher, but I got to... You got to do nothing, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. Realize who He is and what He wants to do for you.
Amen.
What He's already done for you. Man, He saved you by His marvelous grace. He died for your sins. Well, how do you know? He said, open their understanding, they might understand the Scriptures. He said, God didn't want us to be ignorant. He said, as old Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. Amen. He wants you to be informed. He wants you to know tonight the whole the meaning of the gospel, or what it means to be a child of God, what Jesus done for us. Amen. In verse 46 it said, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, thus it is written. Amen. And thus it behooved. He said, hey, it's written down. And the volume of the book, he said, it's written of me. He said, in the volume of the book, it speaks of me in the book of Hebrews. Amen. And he said, hey, listen, it's written down, and said it behooved Christ. In other words, he said, it was necessary. It was necessary. Are you hearing me tonight? It was necessary for Jesus to suffer. It was necessary that He'd take your sins upon Himself. It was necessary. Praise God, He'd take your place. It was necessary that He fulfilled the book to the T. It was necessary that He didn't leave one iota, one dot undotted. It was necessary that He fulfilled the Word of God to the exact letter. It was necessary. It behooved Christ. It was necessary. Amen. That He fulfilled the Word of God, the laws and the prophets and the Psalms. Everything that was written of Him, He said it behooved Him. He said it was necessary. Amen. That He suffer. It was necessary, Landon, that Jesus went up the cross of Calvary. Amen. It was necessary that He was beaten, amen, with the cat of nine tails. He took the lashes, those beatings for me and you.
Amen.
Amen. Those were intended for us. We deserved them, and He didn't. Amen. He paid a debt, praise God, Brother Rex, that I couldn't pay.
Amen.
And He paid a debt that He didn't owe.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And He took that cat of nine tails. He suffered. It was, amen, praise God, it was necessary for Him to suffer what He did. It was necessary for Him to take that beating. It was necessary for Him to carry that old wooden cross down Via Dolorosa, that way of tears and sorrow, to the cross of Calvary, to Mount Calvary, praise
Amen.
God, where He laid down His life for the sins of the world. It was necessary.
Amen.
These crazy things running around today said, oh, none of that really matters. None of that really matters. Praise God, now, it don't really matter. It's just all smoke and mirrors. Amen. It don't really matter that He really did this or not. Yes, it matters. It matters that Jesus done this. He must suffer. Amen. He must suffer. It behooved Him. It was necessary that He suffer. Because of His suffering, praise God, listen to me, because of His suffering, we don't have to.
Amen.
Amen. Because Jesus suffered for us, we don't have to suffer tonight.
Amen.
You say, preacher, it's hard. It seems like we're suffering a lot. Praise God, just give it to Jesus. Praise God, He's already suffered for you.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what happens? We get in a lot of situations. Situations come up in our life and we worry, fret, and we suffer over them. And you know why we do that? Because we probably never gave it to the Lord to begin with. We try to pick it up and run with it. Say amen. We try to take it and run with it. Praise God, it weights us down. It gets us beat down. Gets us down to our knees. Praise God, before we finally look up and say, oh God, I need some help. Amen. You know what the problem is? We wasn't in the will of God to begin with. Amen. If we could ever seek God and seek His will and pray God realize He suffered for us because He had to. And He's still suffering, praise God, for me and you. He suffers. He knows our fulfilling of our infirmities, those weaknesses, those lacks of strength that we have in this immortal being that we are. God knows about those. And He's there to help us and to encourage us. But said He suffered these. Said He suffered. He suffered and to He behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said it was necessary. Amen. A lot of these crazy things today say, well, you know, it wasn't really necessary. And he could have just swooned death. He could have just played dead. It wasn't really necessary that he really died. Amen. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. Amen. That means his spirit left him. That means his body was dead. And they took it down off a cross and they buried it in a tomb. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But on that third day, it was necessary. On that third day, glory be God, it was necessary. And God came and He rolled a stone away. Not so He could get out, but that we could see in. And old John would run up there with Peter and they'd look in that tomb and they'd see that the Savior's risen. He's not there anymore. He got up, praise God. And when he got out, praise the Lord. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Why did the grave couldn't hold him? He wasn't holding to it. Amen. What does that mean? The only way the grave can hold you is if they sin in your life. If you've committed sin, iniquity. Amen. Jesus never did. When he got down there, praise God, old death got a hold of him and bound him up for 3 days. He thought he had him. Praise God, the first day and the second day. But praise God, on that third day, those chains was broken away. Praise God, why? Because they was nothing. Praise God, there was no lock to hold him. Praise God, because that lock of death is sin, and he had committed no sin. I want to say we got victory tonight in Jesus. Amen, a perfect risen Savior. The Bible says it behooved Him to suffer and to die and to rise again a third and appointed day. It was necessary. Why? So that me and you could be set free. Amen, from the burden of sin that we carry. I wonder why we can't just be set free. Could it be that we've not accepted Lord Jesus Christ? He said, hey, it's necessary. So it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day. Now listen, now this is Jesus teaching. It's not me. This is Jesus. That's what He's saying to the disciples. When He was opening their understanding, I wonder tonight, do we understand? Do we understand what Jesus done for us? Do we understand the price that was paid on Calvary? Do we understand what Jesus done when He got up victorious out of the grave? Do we understand? Do you understand tonight why Jesus done that? He done it for you so you could rise up above the grave and death and sin and iniquity and vileness and wickedness in your life. Praise God. He did that for you, praise God, tonight. Amen. It must be. Amen. It behooved Him. It was necessary. Raise Him from the dead the third day. In verse 47, He said that. Now notice this. He said, now this is necessary. He said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He said, hey, he said, it's important. He said, it's needful. He said, it's got to be. He said, repentance has to be preached and remission of sins. I wonder sometimes how we don't preach on repentance enough. We need to repent. We need to be a repentant people. Hey, listen, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Everybody look at me just a second. Amen. Whenever the Holy Ghost of God, now you're saved. If you say you're saved, when the Holy Ghost of God touches your heart, pricks your heart, and shows you do something wrong, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? You repent. When? Next week? next time I go to church. No, when we have communion night. Because I ain't taking that unworthy. I'll repent of all my sins. What if you forget about one? What about that? What if you forget about one? God don't forget. Amen. But the thing is, whenever we mess up, that's why the Holy Ghost of God lives in us. That's why the Holy God of God, the Holy Ghost of God, speaking to us. That's why the Holy Ghost of God brought us to directness and leading us and guiding us, so that when we mess up, He'll get our attention. He'll focus us on that. Say, hey, listen, this was wrong. And you can bow your head. You don't even have to bow your head. You say, hey, Father, forgive me. I've sinned. Please help me, Lord, not to do this again. I mean, that's repentance. He said we need to preach repentance to our people, to the nation, starting in Jerusalem and into the world. He said we need to preach a message of repentance, a sorrow heart, because we broke God, because we hurt God, because we broke His law. Amen. We have to, with a godly sorrow, say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
He said we got to have a repentant heart. Hey man, I wonder how many times we just let things go. How many times we just brush them off in a day's time. How many times we just keep on keeping on, like we say, and we don't brush it, and we brush it off, and we never say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. He said we got to preach repentance. We've got to live repentant. We got to have a repentant heart. We got to ask God to forgive us when we sin. You say, well, preacher, how do we know we sin? Holy Ghost of God, if you're saved, Holy Ghost of God will show you quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Amen.
He won't let you worry and wonder about it for two or three days whether it's wrong or not. He'll show you right then.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. And all you got to do is you just need to stop right then and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. In true repentance, with a broken, contrite heart, say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. Help me to do better. He said you got to preach repentance, and He said you got to preach remission. Amen. Now, what does it mean? What does remission mean? Remission means putting that away. It's that putting away of sin. He said, we come with repentant heart. We say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Amen. And then it's when we mess, we realize that what we done was wrong, and we don't do it again. We turn our back from that, and we go the other way, and we don't go back in that same path again. Amen. It's like when we mess up, Landon, and Papa says, Landon, that's wrong, son. You shouldn't have done that. And you know what you do? You look at him and you say, Papa, I'm sorry. I know it was wrong. But you know, you go beyond that and you say, I know I've done wrong. And you don't ever do it again. Because you know it breaks Papa's heart. But that's what we do with God. Papa, when it comes time to repent of our sin, when we realize that we messed up and we turn to God, see, Papa has to do it too. And he says, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me do better.
Amen.
And he don't go back there again. He said, hey, I'm never going to take that journey again. I'm going to stay away from that path. Amen. That's remission. That's getting away from that sin. That's getting away. Jesus said, we got to preach it. Said we got to preach repentance and remission and putting away of sin, getting away from, fleeing from it. Like Paul tells us to flee fornication. Amen. The vileness and the wickedness of all those things around us. But Jesus said, hey, he said we got to preach repentance and remission. That should be preached in His name, among all the nations. He said it's got to start right here in Jerusalem. Amen. He said, it's got to start. Hey, listen, why did he say it? Because it's got to start right here in the house of God. It's got to start in the house of God. Repentance and remission. Amen. It starts here. It starts here. If we've got an ought, if we've got a problem, if we've got something against a brother or sister, if we've got a problem, if we've got something in our life that's a hindering us from worshiping the Lord, if we've got a problem that's keeping us from being a beneficial part of this church, then we need to bring it to the altar. We need to cry out to God. We need to repent and praise God, get help, and turn from that.
Amen.
To never go back again. Amen. Boy, I tell you, you talk about a growing church. You talk about healthy. Praise the Lord. I'm healthy preaching tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's healthy preaching. It'll grow us. It'll get us where, it'll get you where, get me where I need to be. I realize when I mess up and I just repent. Praise God. And ask the Lord to help me not to go there again. for His glory. You say, well, preacher, will God hear my prayer? Sure He will, because we know that it's His will. Listen, it's not God's will that you mess up. He don't want to just beat on you all the time. He don't want to just convict you day after day. He wants to love you, and He wants you to love Him. Amen. It's that simple. That's all God requires. That's the greatest of the commandments. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your strength, your soul, every fiber in you. Just love God. Amen. It don't get no simpler than that. You love Him with every essence in you, you'll do right. You'll live right. I'll live right. We'll get along. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll love one another. We'll have unity and peace. That's what Jesus said over here in verse 36. He said, peace be unto you. Amen. That was His ultimate desire, that the disciples would have peace. Amen. With Him, with the selves, with the world, with their mankind. Just have peace without compromise. And He said, you're witnesses of these things. He said, you're witnesses of all that's been fulfilled. He said, hey, you got to understand. Do you understand that Jesus fulfilled all, praise God, in His death, burial, and His resurrection? Everything that was needed for me and you to be saved? Everything that we needed to have that blessed hope in Christ Jesus our Lord? He fulfilled all that. He gave us all that. Amen. And He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He said, He's going to come upon you. That promise, that Spirit's going to live in you. He said, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. We're running on empties. What's happening in our churches, in our families, in our lives? We're running on empty. We're running without the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Why? Because we've pushed Him back in the dark corner of our souls. And we said, we'll let you out if we need you. Amen. But I'm saying it's time to release the Holy Spirit of God, to recognize, realize Him in us as children of God, and let Him have preeminence in our lives. Allow Him to begin to dictate and show us what we need to do, what we need to be, how we need to live. And praise God, just listen to Him with joy in our heart. Joy unspeakable, because He'll never lead you wrong. His path will always be right. Amen. Paul was talking about this same thing when he's talking to the Corinthians. He was telling them about how it should be down the church. And good Lord willing, starting Wednesday night, if you ain't been coming on Wednesday nights, you need to come for the month of November, because we're going to start and we're going to preach a series on the church and why it's so needful. I've had some people tell me in the last few weeks that a church really don't matter. They really don't need church. I want to say, if you don't without church, you'll be you may be saved, but you'll just stay a little immature spiritual babe all your life. You'll have no spiritual growth. Amen? But we need the church. And Paul talking to the church of Corinth. Let me just show you. Chapter 11. The same text tonight in which we're going to look at when we take the Lord's Supper in just a little bit. And the Lord says in chapter 11, and Paul said in chapter 11 in verse 17, He says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come not to come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now He's talking about a rebuke them at the Lord's Supper because they come in the wrong attitude. He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. You know why that division was in the church? A lack of repentance. Amen? A lack of repentance. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what she done to me. Preacher, you don't know what he did to me. Hey, listen, praise God, but God does. And He said, if you got to come with repentant heart, because, praise God, it takes two to tango. Amen? If you've got an ought again, a brother or sister, or be God, it's both of yous. Amen. Now I'm still in the book. But Paul says, when I come to you, he said, there's division among you. And he said, I partly believe it. Why? Because of a lack of repentance. Amen. If we come with repentant hearts and got the love of God in our heart, praise God, we'll fix the things up quick, fast, in a hurry. We won't let them smolder on for years and years. He says, for there must be also heresies among you, that ye which are approved may be manifest among you. Amen. When you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He said, hey, listen, he said, we're not coming together to have a big party. I want to say, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is the most sacred thing we do. Amen. We're coming together to, in remembrance of the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed. Amen. It's not to get together to eat. And God's house is not a place, I've told you before, to come to eat. Amen. If you're hungry, praise God. That's why we got a fellowship building. Amen. To eat in. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is not a place to come in and snack and have you a meal. It's a place to reverence God and to worship God and come together for the Lord. He said, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another and is drunken. Amen. Don't sound to me like that's coming into the house of God for the right reason. I thank God that we come to the house of God for the right reason. We come here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We try to acknowledge Him in all that we do. And God has gloriously and abundantly blessed that. And He continues to bless it, because we stand on the principles of this blessed old King James Bible. Amen. He says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? Amen. He said, you've got places to eat, places to fellowship, places to come together and talk and carry on. But he said, God's house is a place of worship. Amen. It's set aside to worship God. And he said, there's a way to worship God. Amen. We're going to come in a little bit. And I done preached to you tonight about Jesus. It was necessary that he died for our sins. It was necessary that he suffered for me and you. The just for the unjust. It was necessary that he gave his life for us. And it's necessary that we repent and ask him to forgive us our sins, to put them away from us, and to never go that route again. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. For as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He said, why do you gather together? Why do you partake of the Lord's Supper? Because we're observing the Lord's death till he comes back. We're observing and recognizing what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. He said, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But now listen to what he says very carefully. He said, but let a man examine himself. Are you hearing me tonight? He said, we must examine ourselves. Is there anything in us, any sin, any vileness, any wickedness, anything in us, any hard feelings, any bitterness in us? He said, if there is, he said, let us examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He said, let us examine ourselves individually. He said, it's not for me to stand here and judge you. It's not for you to stand in judgment of your neighbor. But he said, let us judge ourselves. Let us look at ourselves. Let us see where we are ourselves. Let us look at what we've done, the life we've lived, ourselves. He said, let's make it right. Let him examine himself, repent, remission, and get it under the blood. Amen. Put it under the blood tonight, today, now. And it said, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said, they're dead because they didn't discern the Lord's body. They didn't. They took of it unworthily. What does it mean, unworthily? It means that they partook of it with knowing of sin in their life, knowing of hard feelings in their life, knowing of different things in their life, without repenting and remission, without putting it under the blood. Amen. He said they took it unworthily. And so there's many sick, there's many weak. And he said they somewhat even died because they took it unworthily. He said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. The Lord says, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to give you opportunity to judge yourself. I'm going to give you opportunity to look into the depths of your own soul. I'm going to give you opportunity to see who you are, where you're at, what you've done. He said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make it right yourself. Amen? What a just God we have. What a loving God, Brother Kevin, we have. He said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make it right. Not only in your own eyes, but in the eyes of a holy God. Amen? That you can come worthy to partake and to recognize the precious body of Jesus that was bruised and broken for you, that blood that was shed for you on the cross of Calvary. He said, hey, listen, Jesus said, if you'll repent and get remission of those sins, get them put under the blood. He said, you can be made clean and pure and holy, and you can partake, amen, without any repercussion. But he said, hey, listen, he said, you got to judge yourself. You got to examine yourself. I want to say tonight, before we partake of this supper, we need to do what Jesus said we need to do. Amen. He said to go out into nations and tell them. He said, you need to repent in remission, put it under the blood, make it right with God. He said, come to the table. Amen. He said, then come to the table and partake of the Lord's Supper. He says, in verse 33, it says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another.